Welcome everyone to the Brick Educator Podcast. This is episode 15 and I'm joined today by Alec all the way from Arizona. Hello Alec, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you. So Alec is the master builder over at Legoland Discovery Center, Arizona. So you can find him online on TikTok at the moment, which is at masterbuilder_Alec. And Alec does some absolutely amazing builds and he posts a lot of regular content to a TikTok audience that basically show what it is to be a master builder in the Discovery Center. But today's episode, I really want to focus more about Alec as a person and what makes him unique and what makes him tick with Lego. So Alec, what was your first experience with Lego outside of Legoland itself?
Well, I started very young building with Duplo and Lego when I was probably two or three. And even before that, my parents always really fostered a creative environment for myself and my sister. So very much about like blocks, erector sets, Lego, just anything that encourages the process of creation and, you know, thinking things through like that. So I'd say I started, my parents got me on that track at a young age.
Nice. And then were you always interested with that? 'Cause obviously if your parents really encouraged it, were there other toys and other things that you'd prefer to do, or was Lego quite a, no, I enjoy that, that's fine with me?
I mean, Lego like was my thing until like probably the age of 10. I actually was, my mom loves to show the picture, I was a Lego for Halloween one year.
Nice.
I was a Lego prick. you know, as I got older, I definitely, as I became a teenager, I aged out of Lego, like a lot of kids do. And I still maintained that, desire to create things. And my background is more art, and design than it would be engineering, which, I hear a lot of people ask me like, oh, are you an engineer by trade? And no, people are sometimes surprised to learn that my background is in art, but, I kept up the artistic side of things through my teenage years and into my early 20s. And then I discovered this position, this opening at age 23. And that's really when I got back into Lego in a big way to, train for the competition and eventually secure the job as master builder.
Nice. And that was going to be my next question, is like, what was the preparation for the interview? Because I know you've mentioned on your channel that you have to go through a series of building challenges and you're against other builders as well. What did you do to prepare? What was that process?
So I literally, I went to my parents' house and I was like, we got to get the bricks out of the attic, and brought them down and just a couple of weeks of just experimentation, getting back in the groove of it, kind of learning new things that I didn't necessarily know as a kid that you wouldn't think about, like, you know, illegal techniques, stuff that everyone loves to talk about online, stuff like that. And, just be ready to use the medium of Lego to show that I am a creative dude and I can come up with this stuff.
Absolutely. And then when you were younger, were you more of a instructions follower, or did you start doing mocks from an early age and really get to grips with how the bricks actually go together outside of the instructions that Lego tells you to do?
It was definitely a little bit of both. You covet the sets when you're a kid. You see that giant spaceship that's with 1500 pieces and you want to build it and you want it. But as I started to get a little bit older as a child, like 8 or 9, I really did enjoy taking apart the sets and designing my own stuff, kind of experimenting, kind of exploring with the system that Lego has created, because there's so many like little connections you wouldn't expect to be able to be made. And there's, it's like discovery when you build just with Lego. And even further than that, I enjoyed customizing the pieces. I definitely liked painting my own minifigure bodies.
Nice.
And just creating my own worlds even outside of the Lego system using Lego.
Mm-hmm. And do you still get to do that now in your job? Because obviously working for Legoland, and my wife was a model builder as well, so we've seen the Lego Bible. We know the rules. We know what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do. Do you have much flexibility with going a little bit more outside the box? Or do you have a team behind you that kind of tell you what to make and when to make things?
In terms of like going outside of the box, I'm not allowed to, you know, like paint my own pieces and modify bricks really. But luckily Lego has evolved so much in the past couple of decades, and I don't really need to modify pieces. Mm-hmm. There's just so many options available. And as in terms of like what I actually build on a day to day, it is kind of a give and take with my management team. I am the sole builder of my attraction. Mm-hmm. I make all of the models here. Anything we need for any events or marketing purposes, I have to design it from the ground up, you know, make sure it's strong enough to live in a Legoland where 100,000 kids want to touch it every year and try and pull it apart. But I might be told like, hey, we have a Pirates themed event coming up. And then I have a lot of freedom within that theme to create things that I think would be fun for people to see, fun for people to interact with, that are within a Pirates theme.
Nice. And do you have like a signature style that you focus in, or do you have like little Easter eggs that are very much you in the builds, or is it kind of you just experiment in lots of different styles?
I do experiment with quite a few different styles. I definitely go for a more detailed look, which is a lot more fragile oftentimes. So it's sometimes a struggle with just myself. It's like, hey, Alec, you know, this doesn't have to be this detailed. You're making it way too fragile. This is not going to work at like out in the attraction. So I do have to reel myself in sometimes. But in terms of like a signature style, I'd say that I don't really have one. I like to do all stuff all over the map. I do a lot of mosaic style building at times, because kids can, I don't know, I feel like it's easier to teach how to build in mosaic style than it is some more advanced techniques. Mm-hmm. So I will try to keep things in a style that kids can replicate a lot.
Yeah. I think that's what's so important with Legoland attractions. Mm-hmm. Like when I used to do the Lego workshops, it's you're building to impress, but you're also building to inspire and keep accessible. So there has to be easy enough for people to replicate, but also challenging enough to really push them to a new way of creativity and thinking.
Sorry, I did just think of kind of a signature thing that I like to do. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting in my workshop right now looking at all of my models like, oh man, I've never thought about it in these terms. But I really enjoy making, and people really enjoy seeing, micro-scale minimalist characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you think of the Incredible Hulk, he is a green guy with purple pants and black hair. So you just stack up those colors of bricks, and Lego themselves have used this style in marketing campaigns, but I have a whole like gallery of them, and people enjoy figuring them out. And once you kind of understand what you're looking at, it really clicks, and you start to think in these minimalist terms, thinking of just color and breaking things down to their most essential elements. Mm-hmm. And that is always my favorite style of building to show kids, because they can be made with so few pieces at home as well.
Yeah, and they can create it. And then have you ever had them build it at home, bring it in, and then challenge you? Or is there a bit of a policy of bringing outside Lego models into the attraction?
Oh, kids definitely want to bring in models all the time to show me. A lot of the time the parents will like say, no, we're not bringing our bricks from home. But every once in a while, you know, they pull out a cardboard box and we're like, we brought this to show the master builder. And it's always so exciting. I love seeing things that people bring in, or even just pictures of stuff that kids make at home.
Yeah. And that's what I wanted to ask. Do you have the same families coming in, finding out what you've been building, and they come and chat to you about what they've been making at home?
Yeah, we do have a lot of regular like annual pass members who will come in once a week or even just once a month. And we do maintain a relationship with those families, and it is very fun to see their evolution as builders, them taking some of the kids taking home ideas, taking home techniques and recreating them. And that's one of my favorite parts of the job, honestly, when I see that a kid has really run with something they learned at Legoland and they've made it their own. And I've gotten a little bit of that on my TikTok account as well, which is my favorite part of doing that, where I'll post a video. I posted a video of a toaster that I had built recently and a kid made a video like 2 hours after I had done it. He's like, hey, look, I'm making one too. And it worked great. He did a completely different mechanism than how I had made mine. But you know, he ran with the idea and he created his own thing from it. And it was amazing to see.
And I was going to ask as well, it's like talking about the social networking side. So obviously you're big on TikTok now. You've got hundreds of thousands of followers. You were promoted by Lego, the official Lego account, the other week as well. What is it about TikTok that really works for your type of builds and the content that you're creating?
You know, I think it's very like, so I am in my workshop in the attraction, right? And I have a large window. I promise this is going to get to TikTok. I have a big window where people will come up and spend a variable amount of time with me. You know, some kid might want to linger for 4 hours, the entire time they're there and just chat with me. But a lot of the time it's families coming up and be like, hey, what's in here? And I'll show them one or two things. And four more families will be behind them, like ready to see some other stuff. So I have really developed models that are just fun and surprising in a very like quick way. Like, oh, hey, look at this. Boom. It's a camera. It prints out your picture. That's the end of the model. That's the surprise. You've kind of seen the secrets about it. So TikTok is kind of similar in that way, where it's people just like popping in for 30 seconds, checking something out, and then moving on to something else.
Yeah. It's not like YouTube, where you'd expect it to be like a full tutorial, like 30, 40 minutes video of you showing them and talking about the theory behind it. It's very much a flash in the pan, like it is in the attraction, because yes, the kids want to see what you're doing, but equally there's rides in Legoland as well, and there's other things that they can be doing. So be able just to get that little glimpse of your world, like on TikTok, how it's very 40 seconds to a minute. I completely see how it works. In terms of, I mean, do you guys like run Lego challenges and building events at the moment? Obviously with the current pandemic, it's been limited for a year at least. But when you're operating like normally, do you do like, you come in, show them a build, and then you'll sit down and do challenges with them, or do social media challenges? How does that kind of work for you guys?
You know, well, we, the social media aspect is kind of new to us. We, at our attraction, really, TikTok account took off maybe like three and a half months ago now. So we've never really had this kind of audience to do challenges with. And it is definitely a very fun idea. We've done challenges with kids in the past, just at Legoland. We'll do like bracket style tournaments where they'll build cars and will like commentate on the races, or they'll have to like recreate things that they've seen just for a couple of seconds, or even like telephone style building, where a kid will start a model and then pass it to another kid and we'll collaborate on several models. But we've never really brought social media into it, so there is a very there's some exciting opportunities there now that we've got this following.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure the marketing team are loving it, because it's going to hopefully mean more visitors to come actually see you in person as well.
Oh, yeah.
So
we've had a little bit of that already. So
yeah, nice. Exciting. Oh, fingers crossed you're getting some revenue from that. So we mentioned just before we started the recording that you're working on a school project. So obviously with the you're the model maker for the attraction, you look after the maintenance and stuff like that. Is school something you look after? Do you do the workshops, or are you more a Lego ambassador for the attraction and going out to schools? How does that work, and what do you do?
Well, with COVID, it's kind of transitioned a little bit, and then I have taken on a greater role in doing the school groups, because we used to have field trips coming into the attraction, and we would do you know, lessons about gears, lessons about storytelling, but we've had to kind of had to change. And what we do now is we send out the $5 poly bags to classes, and we'll, I'll pop on Zoom and the whole class will be on there either in person or totally virtually. And we'll go through the, build together. I will talk about some of the techniques that are at play in these small sets. I'll talk about, like how we'd use some of the pieces and the usefulness. I'll show some models where I'm using the same techniques that are included in the poly bag. And it's more about like, it's a little bit more about like having fun. It's like a fun Friday activity for the kids than like being outright educational. Just because it is a little more challenging over Zoom to have like a long form activity.
Yeah. So it's less curriculum focused, but more about just having fun and playing. And, but equally they're using skills. Like, are they working individually or are they working in groups when they're building with poly bags?
They are working individually, just because a lot of the time it is fully virtual. They may have a brother or sister or parent there doing it with them, but it is mostly independent. And, you know, that's kind of the first half of the lesson. And the second half of the lesson is almost just like, hey, here's Alec from Legoland. We're going to hang out. We're going to talk a little bit. I talk about my background, about the education needed to get this type of job. And we'll do like a Q&A. And a lot of the time it's the kids just want to know about things they see in the background in my workshop. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, because I love that, because I think there's a big focus on Lego workshops needing a learning value. Like to get into schools in the first place is really hard if there's not a clear curriculum link or an objective that they're going to achieve. Whereas what you guys are offering is simply, let's just build some Lego and let's just have fun. It's been a bit of a naff year for everyone. They've probably only just started going back to school, depending where they are. Because I know in the UK, they're back now. I'm not sure how it is for you guys in the States. But it's just that little lighthearted. It's like, yeah, here's some Lego from the school, from you guys. Let's just build and have fun. It doesn't always need curriculum value, which I think teachers are so because teachers want that. But then it's the people that are paying for the workshops, the head teachers, the bursars and stuff like that. They always need a reason. But I think what you guys have managed just to say is like, you don't need one. Just let's just have fun and let's just build. And then the fact that you're then talking about how you've got to where you are through different study and through different practices, that's engagement enough to get the kids thinking about, well, if I want to do that, that's what I need to start working on now. Obviously, with the builds that they do, the micro builds and the poly bags, is there anything that you then do in the sessions that build on those poly bags, or is it just the poly bag and then they kind of got that just to have in their collection?
One thing that I like to do is encourage the kids, and sometimes we have time for this, sometimes we don't, but encourage the kids to take apart those sets and use just those exact same pieces to create something. It doesn't have to be, it can be abstract, you know. I tell them like, hey, it can just be like a funky shape that you made. That's fine. Just experiment with these pieces and see what else you can do with them.
Nice. That is it's encouraging them to think outside the box and be creative and using their skills. As you would as well, because I'm sure there's a lot of builds that you've done that have kind of stemmed from another set or an idea or technique that you've seen, but then adapting it in a way to make something brand new, which is what you're asking the students to do.
And I mean, that's how you anything goes. It's not just Lego. Like you build upon what is already out there. So just that type of skill is great for kids to pick up on and really internalize at a young age.
Yeah, absolutely. Going back to like we were talking about styles of Lego building, is there anything that you haven't tried yet in terms of a style or a technique that you're wanting to develop and then grow yourself?
Oh, 100%. I am so bad at, I'm so bad at robotics, at engineering, at gears. My background is art. I talk to the kids about minimalism and negative space and form and sculpture. So people do ask me, like I said, all the time, like, oh, do you have an engineering background? And I have to sheepishly say, no, I'm actually really bad at it. I think actually there is a lot of value in that for the kids to see, like, hey, I am a master builder, but like, I am not a master at this. Like, this is something I work at. This gears engineering, this is something that even though I have this position, I still need to work at to become even just proficient in before I become a master in it.
Absolutely. I mean, I what I love, what you just said then, it's like, yes, your title is master builder, but you're still learning. No one is going to completely master Lego. There's always a new technique, a new style, a new theme coming up that's going to grow. And talking about themes, what is there currently out in the market at the moment that really gets you excited about where Lego is either going or where you want them to then actually do more in? So you said that engineering and the robotics you struggle with now. Apart from the Lego education stuff, there's not really that much available apart from maybe Mindstorms that kind of covers that. So is there anything in that sort of in that sort of idea that you want to see Lego do more of, or that really gets you excited about where they're going?
You mean in the engineering aspect or just in general?
Just in general.
Well, I definitely like the route they've been taking with the more, I mean, I am an adult, so I am very interested in like the more adult centric sets, like the bonsai tree, like the flowers that are like, this is just a beautiful thing made out of Lego for you to put on your shelf. And I know that doesn't like excite the kids as much, but that's what I've been excited about lately. But also some of the kind of sketch style plate, like mosaic, not quite mosaic, not quite model.
What they've been 2D doing 2D sort of thing they're doing.
Yeah, the 2D sort of thing. I think it's really using like an established piece, like we're taking just plates and we're using them in a new way, and we're creating something that's kind of neither here nor there from what's been out there lately. But I don't know, just that kind of thing. I had never really seen something like that before, and I really enjoy it.
Yeah. So I've been on Instagram for a while, personal account following Lego things before the Brick Educator stuff. And so the guy that created the brick sketches is he's called Power Pigs. It's Chris McVeigh, his name. And when I was at Legoland, I used his mosaics in one of our art workshops. So I would like showcase it and say, look how cool this is. And then he announced he then got a job at Lego. And then a few years later, those sets then came out. So it was amazing to see his journey.
Yeah.
So hopefully the students that did that workshop for us went, oh, okay, that's cool. And then they see it coming into a real life Lego set.
Yeah.
Hopefully inspire them to go, look, if you just want to build something, build it, get it online, showcase it, because you will get noticed. If you try hard enough, that they will see it. So for me, the Lego sets that I want to really see more of is more engineering style ones outside of the Lego education universe, because that's all very school focused learning. If they like, I love the Lego Former range they did, which was the mechanical fish, because that
was very different, very cool.
The skeleton itself, without putting the fish on it, was just phenomenal. The gear system, the axles, the Technic Lego, it just worked really well. So I'd love to see them do more of that and then start to encourage younger Lego builders about gears, about engineering, and getting them excited about it from a young age. Because the robotics, they're brilliant, but my word, they're expensive. And they're not, they're not accessible to most home users unless they've got very appreciative parents who know the value of it. It's not just a set that you go pick up off the shelf. It is an investment. So yeah, I'd love to see more engineering style builds, more gear systems, just to kind of get people excited about how Lego can be used as a machine rather than just a plaything and then a model. But equally, love the 18 plus adult range. That bonsai was phenomenal. When that came out, I was like, this is where I'm going to lose a lot of money because I'm going to start buying all of this. So in your attraction, as well as obviously the rides and the build stations and your studio, is there anything else that you particularly get involved with as the model builder, either in the attraction or externally? So we've talked about school workshops and obviously the social media side. What else does your role do?
I mean, yeah, it's a lot of building, maintaining models, and just being present for the guests as the master model builder, you know, there to inspire the kids, give them ideas, give them special pieces. But one of the big things that I really enjoy doing that we unfortunately aren't doing right now, and hopefully we'll be picking up in the future again, is the Creative Crew Kids, which is essentially we have a competition that is exactly the same as the Brick Factor competition that I got the job from, but for kids under 10. And they'll do kind of a head-to-head build-off. They'll have to talk about their models, talk about their design process. And we choose 12 of those kids then to meet with me once a month for a year. And we go into some more advanced building techniques. Do a whole lesson on spheres. We do a whole lesson on Lego lettering. Just kind of the things that I would use in my building here as the master builder. And they do really get a lot out of that. And it's fun to see the kids grow over the course of the year. And it also offers an opportunity for us to test out new classes. Like, hey, I'm going to do something with the Creative Crew Kids where it's like we've never tried in the attraction before. Yeah. And then if it is very successful, then we can roll it out to a much wider audience. And then the guests who come in can experience that same kind of thing.
Oh, amazing. So they're almost, I don't want to use the word guinea pig because it's going to be unique for them, but it's kind of a try before you sell it sort of.
I mean, kind of. I don't want to think of them as guinea pigs, but they are the more advanced builders of their age. So we can get away with doing more advanced classes with them, which is great. And we can kind of see were they struggling on this? Did they do it very easily? I know that we've in the past rolled out a kind of like a space travel class that came from one of the creative workshop or from one of the Creative Crew classes where I built planetscapes. So I built like Mars and Venus, and then they had to research what were the conditions of the surface of these different planets and moons and asteroids, and then build something that would allow them to live there. So habitable stuff. And we were worried that was a little too involved for the having just general admission classes for it. But they took to it very easily, and it went so well that we then rolled that out for school groups as well. Wow. So it gives us that opportunity, and it's really great.
Nice. So I know a lot of people will see you online, come to the attraction and learn skills and techniques from you and be inspired by your builds. What do you do to get inspired? Like, are there certain accounts that you watch and follow? Is it online, books? What is your sort of research process?
I will check the Brothers Brick every once in a while, see what's on there. And I run into the same problem I know that a lot of other people run into, where you see something incredible and you're like, oh man, that's so good. I couldn't do that. So it can be equally inspiring and discouraging sometimes to look at things online. I like to check Lego blogs like that. I also like to check art and design blogs. And I will get inspiration from This is Colossal is one of my favorite, colossal.com. Just has really great of art from all different mediums. And I have drawn inspiration from that quite a bit. That's kind of my number one go-to.
Nice.
Have
you ever had a guest of the attraction come in and teach you something? Show you a type of build that they've been doing that's gone, oh, that's cool.
Oh, definitely. Yes. I'm sad I didn't even mention the guests come in, kids come in, adults come in and show me things they've created or just ask me if I've ever built something. And it's something I have never thought of. And I'm like, wow, that's such a good idea. No, I'm going to do that. That's actually where my toaster came from.
Nice.
A kid said, have you ever made a Lego toaster? And I said, no, that's an amazing idea. And we're going to build it right here, right now. And he got to see me do the whole process of building it and saw it come to life. So that was awesome.
Nice. I mean, I'm sure like any builder, I know in the Legoland workshop over in Windsor, there is just boxes of just models that didn't work or they were just never finalized. And it's just kind of, I've seen a few of yours on your account where it's kind of just your little bits draw, like little random models. Has there ever been a time when you've tried to do a really big model? Like, it could be for the attraction or for a PR event that just didn't work, that you just weren't happy with and it just scrapped and you started again?
Oh, really big. I mean, I try not to give up on something after I've invested more than, you know, 15, 20 hours into it.
Yeah.
So luckily there hasn't been any like huge project where we're like, no, this just isn't going to work. But I mean, there's been countless little ones. There is one now. I'm racking my brain. I've been working here for 5 years. There's just so many projects that I've done and given up on. I was going to make just a big old sign at the exit. It was like, hey, thanks for visiting. And we could have like a little space to put like marketing information. Like, we're going to have these events coming up. But I really wanted to be eye-catching. So I was going to program an Arduino board, like a programmable chip to like a light show all around it. So I was like, all right, first things first, I got to learn how to program. And like, I bought an Arduino in my free time. And I was like trying to figure it out. I have friends who are very good at programming. They tried helping me. And like, the amount of time that I was investing in it outside of work was just like, this is not working out. I'm going to scale this project down and maybe not include all the lights. I have yet to build that one.
Is the sign there or not? No, it's just a concept.
No. Yeah.
So your Miniland that you have in the attraction, is that minifigure scale or do you have a different scale that you work with for those builds?
Yeah, it's minifigure-ish scale. There's actually because there are two scales that we work with in our LDC, Discovery Center Minilands.
Yeah.
And I believe they are 1 to 72 and 1 to 48.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that we have two different scales is because some of the smaller buildings that we want to highlight would just be absolutely dwarfed by the like skyscrapers that are in downtown Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have this old Victorian home called the Rossi House, which was the governor's mansion, I believe, along in the 1800s. And it is a house. It is a two-story house, but sitting next to Chase Tower, which is the tallest building in Arizona.
It
would get lost. Yeah. So we want to be able to highlight details of smaller builds while still having the very, very large models as well.
Nice. And what's your process? So taking that house as an example, what is it start to finish? How would you go about actually designing it, creating, getting inspiration? What do you do?
I will start by actually going to the location. Mm-hmm. I like to actually go and get pictures of the place in real life because you need images of the buildings and the structures at angles that you're not necessarily going to find online, like the back alley. What does like the bottom floor under the awning look like the ceiling of that. So I do that. I pull some pictures off the internet and then it's really just like posting those on my wall and just experimenting. Like, how can I make this window frame look well? And then I'll do the individual parts of it and then fit it all together into the larger build.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Right now I'm working on a bridge for, to go over our lake, Tempe Town Lake.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my current Miniland project, and I have the prototype pretty much done. I had to do all the different pillars. I had to make an arch for the underside, which was proved to be a bit of a challenge at the scale that I'm doing it at.
Yeah.
But I'm just waiting on some bricks to come in, and then I'll be putting that one in Miniland in the coming month.
Ah, amazing. Nice. Because I know when I used to like obviously hang out with the Lego team in Windsor, the one problem they had was they built a lot of models for brand new LDCs that are opening up. So it could be Istanbul or some other one, any of the ones in the US, but they couldn't go to the location. So that all they would be relying on is Google Images. And as you said, it doesn't quite show all those little tiny details like, what does the side alley look like? What's the parking look like? What does the fence look like? And so you just kind of, that element of guesswork, which if you're purely doing a build from your location, you have that flexibility to actually go see it and actually really absorb all those details that they've got there. Are there any elements that you really like to use to create those details, like archways and fencing? Because I know, looking at the Parisian Cafe, for example, the Lego modular set, things like the marble embossing, it's like white croissant pieces, and you could find like hot dogs to make fences and other models. Do you have any sort of Alex style that you use, like minifigure elements like that, to make things?
I mean, I love doing odd pieces in builds. I haven't included too many of them in any of our Miniland structures, like using, as you said, like croissants or hot dogs. I do really enjoy in anything that is, cracked, older. I love the design of stacking differently sized slopes next to each other to make like a facade, a wall, like a cracked wall.
Nice.
I have included those in quite a few models that I've done. And that's closest I can think of to like a signature that I put into my models. I don't really think too much about like what techniques am I going to use in this build? It's really a haphazard process of designing for me. It's very much a lot of trial and error, like trying out 20 different bricks, seeing which one looks best, going with that, and then moving on. So
for me, that's a better way of doing it, because on my previous podcast with Corey from San Diego, his students built this massive Lego tower, like it touched the ceiling. And I was saying to him, the way that adults think and do things is they plan it, and they plan it and plan it and plan it, and they might never actually get around to creating it, because they're so wrapped up in, is it going to work, rather than just testing it and seeing if it works. So for you to say, yeah, you will just get cracked on and start building it and just try different combinations and different things, and you're not super precious to then rip it apart and do something else with it. So I'm guessing that you guys have to glue the models together eventually once it's ready to go out. Has there ever been a moment where you've gone around the attraction, seen a model that you've done previously and gone, I really want to redo it and rebuild that, but it's glued, so it's kind of, it is how it is?
I have had to rebuild glued structures, just because even if they are glued, kids are strong.
They're very sticky fingers.
So I have had the opportunity once or twice to revisit a design. Most recently, a Roadrunner that I had built as part of like a bird scavenger hunt got torn apart, and I just took it back into my workshop, and I was like, I can add some more detailing. I could add some more color to these aspects of it. And I was able to modify it. But, if I need to rebuild something because I think of a better way to do it, I have no problem doing that. Just because of the design process, because of the way that I operate, I, as I said, build very haphazardly and go by trial and error. So a lot of the times I will end up having to either totally rebuild the thing that I just designed, but glue as I go, or take it apart piece by piece and glue it from there.
Nice. I mean, it must really help you kind of come to terms with, even though I built it, I put a lot of time and a lot of effort into it, it may get broken, and just knowing to accept that to then rebuild it eventually must kind of, it's helped you mentally grow as that. So I know I was, when I would do big builds or like little display pieces and put them out in Legoland, because it was a free build style workshop, I'd get quite protective if someone wanted to then bring it down off the shelf and look at it, because I know they're going to drop it or they're going to start ripping it apart to then build it in a different way. And you just have to learn to let go, because Lego is about inspiring others, and if it gets broken, fine, it's just, it's Lego, rebuild it. And it took me a few years to get to that level, though. Which leads me on to my next sort of, probably next and almost final question about you and your journey. Over the 5 years of being the master builder for LDC Arizona, what have you developed as a person? Is it skills? Is it tolerance of knowing things do get broken? Is it new outlooks? What is it about being the master builder, working with Lego every day? How has that helped you develop as a person?
Oh, patience. Patience is the number one thing I have learned. You know, it's designing something and working with kids. It's a sometimes very slow and often tedious process. Yeah. And you know, being able to like get in a zone, get in the right mindset to sit down and be like, I need to work on this small design. This might take me 6 hours today. I'm just mm-hmm. gonna tough it through. And then at the same time, like working with kids who might not be understanding like what you're trying to get across to them, and just very much being patient and sitting down and giving them that time that they really need mm-hmm. To advance, to progress as you know, learners or builders. That has been, I think, one of the most valuable things that I've learned in my time working here. And one of the most important things you need for a job like this, and that's what I always tell kids. You're not going to get instant gratification building with Lego, but it's really worthwhile when you sit down, you spend dozens of hours on something, and you're very, very, very proud of it at the end, and you can show it off and be proud of it.
Fabulous. Thanks, Alec. I think we'll leave it there. It's a really lovely sentiment to finish on. Obviously, follow Alec on TikTok. It's masterbuilder_Alec. Hopefully you're going to get on some other channels for those that don't have TikTok as well, because I know there's a massive following on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. So I would love to see your account grow and grow to really hit a bigger audience. Just finally, what is the next project? Apart from, you said you're building a bridge for Miniland, what mm-hmm. is one of the biggest, what's the next big project that you're working on?
So I have, over the past couple of months, just whenever I have time, been making butterflies.
Nice.
I have this kind of 2D butterfly design. I'm making them a monarch butterfly. I'm making them in blue and orange. And I have about 350 of them built right now.
Wow.
And I would like to do a whole installation in one of the rooms where they're arcing up the wall and then like hanging from the ceiling in places, and really make a very striking display that not only will look very cool, but, you know, be great for people to take pictures with.
Yeah. So someone might say you used to have an art background with a build like that.
Yes. This is very much inspired by something I've seen at the Phoenix Art Museum.
Oh, fair enough. But then it's great because you're applying it. It's a passion of yours. It's giving it, showcasing it to a younger audience who will then really enjoy it as well, because it's Lego. But then you mm-hmm. can start to really push the gallery style, the art style, and mm-hmm. you're not just doing buildings or animals mm-hmm. or like normal modular style builds that Legoland LDCs and theme parks are known for. You started yeah. to really focus on the Lego art style, and like mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure you know artists like Nathan Sawyer. I'm sure you've seen his yeah. work, and it is art. It isn't just a building or a toy. It is a medium. Mm-hmm. It's for expression, and it's great. So I'm waffling, so I will finish it there. But thank you so much, Alec. Stay on the line. We'll say our byes in just a second. But that was episode 15. So this will be live on all platforms, hopefully in the next couple of days. But if you see this on Anchor FM, that's obviously where this platform, where the podcast is hosted. And episode 16 will hopefully be coming up next week, chatting to some new Lego builders, some designers as well. So thank you, everyone, for listening and following the channel. And we'll see you all very soon. Alec, thanks so much. Have a lovely week.
Thanks. You as well.